read my favourite part of the Bible, the Gospels. And that's not simply because it's easier to read. The whole Bible's inspired, and we love the whole book. But I'm sure you have a favourite part of the Scriptures, or a favourite passage of Scripture. Well, mine is the Gospels. Simply because that's the centre. Not geographically, but theologically, that's the centre of the Bible. Everything hangs on the Gospels. All that goes before in the Old Testament, you can only properly understand it in understanding the Gospels of Matthew, Mark, Luke and John. And the same holds true of the New Testament. You can only properly understand that on the basis of what is recorded for us in Matthew and Mark and Luke and John. Four views, not views in the sense that this is what I believe or that's what I believe, but four aspects of the birth, the life, the labours, the ministry, the death, resurrection and ascension of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what the Gospels set before us. So it's imperative, not only at Christmas time, but at all times, it's imperative for us to grasp the Gospels, and then you can work out from the various parts of Scripture what they really mean. Because the Bible talks about Christ, first and foremost. The Lord himself said, these are they. And he was referring to the Old Testament scriptures. John 5, we read it. These are they which testify of me. So we want to look tonight then at the portion we have read together. And we want to think about the wisdom of the wise men. For these men that are brought to our attention here, they were very wise indeed. And so let's look at what the Bible tells us about these wise men. And I want you to notice the first thing about them is their priority. Or if you like, their pursuit. Their pursuit. Because it says in verse 1 of chapter 2, when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem, saying, where is he that was born king of the Jews? For we have seen a star in the east and are come to worship him. The wise men were wise first and foremost because they sought the Lord. That's how wise they were. They gave a priority to the seeking and indeed the finding of the Lord. Now, they sought the Lord in spite of difficulty, because it tells us in verse 1, when Christ was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, it says, behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem. Now, there's a bit of a space in there, the possibility of about 2 to 2.5 years, and I'll explain that later on. But these wise men from the east, in all probability, came from the Babylon area. And you might ask yourself, well, why there? And how would they know about a coming, a promised deliverer, a promised Messiah? Well, you will remember, and if you look at the previous chapter, in Matthew, you'll see references to the carrying away captive into Babylon. So you will remember that the Babylonians destroyed Jerusalem. The Babylonians destroyed the temple. And many, many people, thousands and thousands of them, were carried into captivity in Babylon. And they were there for 70 years, and then there was the return to rebuild the temple. But not everybody returned. Not all those Jews who were carried away captive came back again to Israel. And so, between those who did return and those who stayed, the Babylonians would have heard from these Jews about a great Messiah, the promised deliverer. You remember the taunt that the Babylonians made to the Jews, sing us one of the songs of Zion. You'll get that in Psalm, I think it's Psalm 137. Sing us one of the songs of Zion. And then, of course, they say, well, how can we sing the Lord's song in a strange land? So, through the captivity, and no doubt other means, there was among the Babylonians this knowledge of a great deliverer coming. And these men, in all probability, and I have to say that, in all probability, they came from the Babylon area. People talk about them coming from further afield, and people actually give them names. Well, of course, the Bible doesn't do that, and the Bible doesn't tell us there were three wise men. That's simply deduced because of the gifts, the three gifts that they gave. But whether there were three or more or even less, they were wise men, and they came some distance to seek the Lord. It wasn't an easy journey. If they were travelling from Babylon, well, you're talking about 600 miles to the east of Jerusalem. That's like us going from here to London and half roads back again. That's the distance. If they were from further afield, then it's an even greater distance. But you'll know that they didn't have planes or trains or cars or cycles. They had asses. They had camels. So it wasn't a speedy mode of transport. And given that they were to travel through desert land, I mean, we're shivering with cold in the minute. It's the season of coughs and sneezes and wheezes, everything else. But you know, in that part of the world, there was a searing heat. And it was quite some undertaking to travel that distance. Slowly. I mean, if you could do it in an air-conditioned coach, fine. If you could do it in an air-conditioned plane, fine. But they didn't. They couldn't. They hadn't that form of transport. So it was a difficult undertaking. And in spite of the difficulty, their desire to see and find the Lord drove them on. And I put it to you as well, it was a dangerous journey. Not only in the sense of maybe being overcome by heat, could possibly have been. It would be hard and arduous in that respect. But these were men who stuck out like a sore thumb. They were important people. They weren't just anybody. They were important people. And they were carrying with them treasure, notably the gold that they presented to the Lord. And they would have been open to possible attacks. Don't we read about the man going down from Jerusalem to Jericho, which is not a big distance, and he was set upon with thieves and was left half dead, and of course the good Samaritan came along. You know, there was no plane, there was no train, there was no means of security to keep them away from possible robbers. And they knew this. They knew that. And of course they would have prepared for it. But in spite of the difficulty, and in spite of the possible danger, they came seeking the Lord. Where is he that was born King of the Jews? So you'll see their pursuit. They were wise in that they sought the Lord. But I want you to notice, in the second place, their perseverance. Because verse 1 tells us they came to Jerusalem. And Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king. Behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem. Now, many of your Christmas cards will depict three kings travelling over a desert and a deep blue sky and a star leading them across the desert. But that's not what the Bible says, and you'd probably know that. This star, as it's called, appeared to them where? Where does the Bible say it appeared? In the east. We have seen his star in the east. Verse 2. It appeared to them in the Babylonian area. It appeared to them where they lived, where they came from. And then it disappeared. Disappeared. That's why they went to Jerusalem. If you were coming looking for a promised Messiah, if you were coming looking for this great deliverer that the people of Israel spoke about and had great hopes for, where would you go? Where would you expect to find him? Just exactly where the wise men went. They went to Jerusalem. You would expect to find him there. After all, Jerusalem is the capital of Jewry. Where else would you go to find the Messiah? Well, that's where these men came. But there was no great business about this Messiah. They came and probably expected to see indications and signs all over. I mean, this was the holy city, reputedly. They came expecting to see something and people talking about it. But when they got to Jerusalem, where is he? Where is he? Where is he that was born King of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and we're come to worship him. It was a disinterest there. And yet, these men knew. These men saw the star. By the way, and I better just make it by the way, but the star's not a star like you and I would see in the sky at night. And I can't spend time on this, but I'll just mention there's a sign right through the scriptures indicating the presence of the Lord. If I say that to you, maybe something will spring into your mind. In the Garden of Eden, There was a fire. The Bible tells us that. There was a fire. Moses in the desert. He saw a fire. A burning bush. Isaiah's vision. In chapter 6 of his prophecy. The temple was filled with smoke. You go to the Mount of Transfiguration. It was covered with clouds. You look at Mount Sinai as well. It was covered with clouds. You look at the time when the Lord Jesus Christ ascended up to heaven, even up in clouds. You look at the Bible and it tells us in the book of Revelation, when the Lord Jesus Christ comes back, behold, he cometh with clouds. You look in the book of Exodus, and when the people of Israel were led by daytime, it was a pillar of cloud. When they were led through the wilderness by night, it was a fiery pillar. So this cloudy, fiery manifestation indicated the Lord was present. And that's what these men saw in the east. It wasn't a star way, way, way up in the sky. There's a lot of talk about astrology and what time the earth was in a position where a certain star would have been seen in a very bright manner. But the Bible doesn't talk anything about that. The Bible tells us that the manifestation of the presence of the Lord is indicated by the Shekinah glory. That's what came down on the mercy seat when the high priest went in. And it was something akin to that that these wise men saw. And they saw it. You know, there's people tell us the book of Matthew is only for Jews. That's a lot of nonsense. Who were the first men recorded in the New Testament to seek the Lord? Gentiles. These men. The wise men from the east. And in spite of not seeing any sort of business among the people of Jerusalem about him, they persevered. When Herod heard about it, he was bothered, he was troubled. He called for these religious leaders and he demanded where the Messiah was to be born. And he said, in Bethlehem of Judea. Bethlehem is not that far away from Jerusalem. And he called the wise men privately. See the word privily? He had evil intentions on his heart. And he didn't want anyone to know. And he said, now tell me, when exactly did you see this star? And he got the time. And you will have noticed, they're not talking about a newborn infant. They're not talking about that. The wise men didn't go to a stable. This passage tells us they went to a house. And Herod said, you go and search diligently for the young child. You see that? Specifically mentions the young child. And when you find him, bring me word again that I may come and worship him also. And so when they heard the king, verse 9, they departed, and lo, the star which they saw in the east went before them. It reappeared. It went before them. I mean, had it led them all the way, they could have said to Herod, look, there's the star there. But it didn't appear to Herod, to the king. It reappeared to these wise men. And it brought them. It says it came and stood over where the young child was.
It stood over this house.
It wasn't a star away, way up there. For if it had been a way, way up there, it would not only have been over the house in Bethlehem, but it would have been over all Bethlehem. It would have been over the whole of Jerusalem. They would have seen it. No, this manifestation that the Lord had come, that the Lord was present, it was this fiery, cloudy pillar. Looked like a star maybe to them. That's why it's translated this way. But it came and stood over where the young child was. When they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceeding great joy. You'll notice the religious leaders, they didn't go to Bethlehem. They were able to tell Herod where he was to be born, but they didn't go. Herod and his men would have gone, but they would have had ulterior motives. And so in spite of the lack of interest, these men persevered. They continued to seek the Lord. You have their pursuit, their perseverance, and then lastly, briefly, their possessions. Their possessions. What possessions did they have? And what was the most precious possession of all that they gave? Well, you notice it says that when they were come into the house, not the stable, into the house, they saw the young child with Mary his mother. You know, Christmas time is a family time. It's nice when family get together. The Lord chose to come into this world in a family. In a family. Now there's some thoughts that he had brothers and sisters, immediate brothers and sisters. I'm inclined to believe that, but others think that they're sort of relatives of maybe Joseph's family or Mary's connection. But nevertheless, he came in to this world. He could have come in some other way, but he chose to come through a family. The family unit is established and blessed and honored by God by the very fact that the Maker, the Creator of the ends of the earth, came into the world through a family. When they came into the house, they saw the young child with Mary his mother and fell down. Notice these words of worship him. Think about that for a minute. A babe about 2 years old, or maybe 2.5 at most. When they came into the house, they didn't worship Mary. They fell down and worship him. It's astounding, folks. Veiled in flesh, the Godhead see. Heal the incarnate deity. Pleased as man with men to dwell. Jesus, our Emmanuel. That's astounding. There he is, as an infant. 2 to 2.5 years of age. What was the most precious possession they gave him? And this shows you the wisdom of these wise men. They gave themselves. They gave their hearts. They fell down and worshipped him. Of course, the Bible forbids worship to anyone other than God. And these men gave their hearts. It's astounding. These were wise men. Mature men. Men had a reputation from where they came. And here they are, falling before the Lord. And of course, if you give your heart to the Lord, the rest flows. The rest goes on. They opened unto him their treasures, and they presented unto heaven gifts, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. No doubt the gold was used for this poor family's stay in Egypt. God had it all planned, and he had it all provided for them. Joseph was a poor man, not in poverty as such, but he wasn't wealthy. He was a carpenter, and God makes provision for them even at this stage. And they go down into Egypt. Notice what it says. It says in verse 12, being warned of God in a dream that they should not return to Herod, they departed into their own country another way. In other words, those men went away differently after they met the Messiah. And that's what happens when men meet the Lord. They become new creatures. They go home another way. And that's what we pray for, and that's what we preach for, and that's what we seek the Lord for. I could go on, we've gone past our time, the wisdom of the wise men. May the Lord bless his word to you.